it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the price. See Thor, lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who will open up their season tonight when they welcome in Chicago. The puck drops at 5 o'clock from Amaranth Bank Arena, and the game can be heard here on WQIM with Doug Plagans and Billy Lindsay on the call. Over to the Heat, who fell to the Bucks 103-93. The Heat will continue the preseason when they host San Antonio tomorrow night. In the NFL, Week 5 wrapped up with the Jaguars beating the Chiefs 31-28. Week 6 begins on Thursday with the Eagles and Giants. And in baseball, the Brewers beat the Cubs 7-4 to go up 2-0. And the Dodgers took a 2-0 lead on the Phillies, winning 4-3. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
Talk to Steve Ross after the game, and can you share anything about the nature of that conversation?
Yeah, he was really frustrated at the, he was as I was, and we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com.
Hey, Mike, I'm not real happy with blowing a 17-point lead to this bad team we just played against. Yeah, I'm not happy either, Mr. Ross. We'll get that fixed. Hey, Kyle Krabs, host of Locked on Fins podcast and A to Z Sports for NFL, joins us this morning. Kyle, I don't know. let's start with this. How bad is this starting five on the offensive line? I'm going to talk about a lot of line play with you. I'm just wondering, how bad is it right now that they can't run the ball for more than 82 yards, including whatever that was that they just attempted to do in this last game?
Well, I think it kind of drives you nuts, because the running plan against Carolina was to kind of just ram our head into the wall and try the same thing over and over. And you know, they had 8 runs on first down, and 6 of them were outside to the left. Right. And Carolina, the one advantage personnel wise, you looked at what they had and said, hey, that interior group they have with Derrick Brown and Bobby Brown and A'shaun Robinson, that's probably a pretty good matchup for them on the interior. And sure enough, they said, hey, we're going to play kind of this bear style front where we're going to have those 3 guys occupying some shade on the interior gaps. And then we're going to put somebody tilted outside to whatever your running strength is away from the back, so that when you try to get your run game going that side, we think that player can beat up whoever you're going to try to have that's going to block that guy on the edge. And whether it was Julian Hill, whether it was Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, whether it was Patrick Paul trying to get control of Derrick Brown when he was lined up over top of him, it just didn't happen. Yeah. And instead of trying a different kind of run, we just said, yeah, we're just going to try again to get a different kind of outside zone run to the left. So, like, it wasn't even – I understand that your right guard and Cole Strange and Larry Borum, you don't feel great about their profiles relative to the starters, and you don't want to put them in bad positions and put them at the forefront of the game plan. But the best run that they had, they ran out of pistol with Ollie Gordon when they pulled Jonas Savainai, and they ran a counter and they got at least 3 yards out of it. And that's more than you could say for half these other runs. These 8 first down runs that they had, Joe, they got negative 10 yards before contact on 8 runs.
Yeah.
I mean, and some of it's Jonas Savainaya, some of it's Derrick Brown being awesome, but a lot of it was just, hey, we're going to try a bunch of different ways to get the same run game going, and whether it's the guy at the point of attack on the line or whether it's we're out aligned and that guy's kicking our butt with whatever skill player we have blocking on the front end. The thing that drove me nuts about it when I watched is you didn't really try anything else. And I understand a lot of your play pass and your play action game is built off of that run action, but you can't just punt and say, ah, well, we tried it. Okay, I guess we're just going to pass the ball.
Yeah.
Especially when you're playing out in front the way that you were.
Let's talk about the D-line. The worst group right now that we have, stat-wise, they're dead last against the run. 174 yards, giving up 5.6 yards per carry. Everybody's all over. And by the way, I want to keep playing them. I'm not going to stop playing them. How much is Kenneth Grant struggling right now, your first-round pick? Let's start with that.
He needs to get his pads down, for sure. He's getting a baptism by fire as far as double teams and duo and combinations. And the anchoring at the point of attack's not great. And then you have these other plays where he kind of is uncovering in the hole. And instead of getting rid of the blocker and giving himself a chance to be uncovered and make a play, he's still kind of stuck on the block and just throwing an arm out there.
Yeah.
And trying to make a tackle through contact. And maybe that was good enough when you're playing at Michigan, right? But these are big, big bodied, powerful backs. And they run through that.
Yes,
and
they do.
He felt that. So I certainly think, you know, Kenneth Grant, he's been up and down at his best, and at his worst, he's been not good. And I think you saw one of the games that was kind of the struggles and not showing improvement. And through week five, that's kind of the part for me with the defense as a whole. It's kind of, you felt like you saw some incremental progress and you knew there was a lot of news. So like, I was willing to be patient and give it grace, but I mean, this was a collapse up front and just catastrophic yeah. inability to defeat blocks. And the best guy on the roster, bar none, who gets off of blocks is your fifth round rookie, Jordan Phillips, who plays in the A gaps. And the last 2 weeks, he's played less than 30% of your snaps.
And you think he's actually playing and doing a better job and he's taking less snaps in?
He's a more limited player on passing downs. But I think you have to be willing to live with that at this stage, you know, and he takes double teams. He anchors against double teams. Is he perfect? No, because he's a rookie and yeah. you have some down plays.
Right.
But he's the only guy that I watch who puts his hands in the right place, gets his hips down, stays square to the line of scrimmage, will split a double team and uncover at the point of attack and hold ground to allow the linebackers behind him to play clean. He's the only guy who does it with consistency. And yeah, I think he's deserved on film the opportunity to play more than 23 snaps, which is what he played
yeah.
against the Carolina Panthers with how they were running against you.
Well, the follow-up will be, how's Benito Jones playing? How's Big 95 playing?
I want to
hear what you watched it.
I don't think Benito Jones gives you the same consistency of anchor at the point of attack. He's another big body type of player, but he just doesn't have the same raw power and strength. And therefore he doesn't anchor as well, but then he's not as laterally dynamic as the other options that you have. So he's the guy that I think is kind of caught in no man's land yeah. relative to what you have in Jordan Phillips. And we actually saw more of Benito Jones. He played 20 snaps against Carolina. That was a significant increase for him.
So I want to ask you, I haven't got your thought. I have my own on it. Waller, 5 catches, 78 yards, doing things that we haven't seen, having a tight end run down the middle of field, athletic, 5 for 78 in the first half. He's running like he's 25 years old.
Yeah.
You don't get him the ball in the second half, and you say they took it away. It's just not acceptable to me. What about you?
Yeah, I agree. And for me, I go to personnel usage here for the Dolphins. They're number one in the NFL in EPA out of 22 personnel, which is two backs and two tight ends on the field. And it's a small sample size. It's only 14 snaps. But they have a better EPA on those 14 snaps than they have in 135 plays when they have three wide receivers on the field. And it's like six times the amount of EPA. Like, they are significantly better. And they didn't really run it in weeks two and three, but then Waller comes back, and you kind of see this sprinkling of 22, which is two tight ends and two backs. And,
yeah.
and that can be Ollie Gordon and That can be Alec Ingold as your two backs. That can be Devon Achane and Ollie Gordon when you want to go passing game. That can be Tanner Connor and Darren Waller. That can be Julian. Whatever combination you want it to be. You can go pass heavy with speed, and you can go run heavy with power out of 22. The Dolphins, in the first 18 minutes of the game, they called five plays out of 22, including what I thought was their best blocked up run of the day, a 10-yard touchdown pass to Devon Achane in the red zone. They didn't run it at all until they got in the red zone the first time. Then they had a 21-yard pass to Darren Waller out of it, and then they had a minus run at the 13-minute mark in the second quarter. And they did not run another 22 personnel package play until 4:50 left in the fourth quarter. It was a 46-yard touchdown pass. Mm-hmm. So I think you've got personnel usage here that you can use to put Darren Waller in a position to create run-pass conflict a little more consistently, because it was very clearly working for you. And they used it in the red zone at first, and then they had a first and five, and that's when they got the chunk play, the 21-yard play to Waller off of it. And then you did not see it again until 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and you do a deep, an under-center heavy look with Waddle, and he runs right by guys, and it gets you the exact look that you say you can't get because everybody plays shell on you. So for me, that's one of those ones where it's who do you want to be versus who do you need to be? And to get away from it the way that did, and I understand that's probably a short yardage and that's probably a red zone package for you. But with what you are personnel-wise now, and like the tonality versus saying, hey, we're going to try to run our outside zone stuff and it's not going to work, so we're going to give up, instead of running some 22 and say, hey, let's run some counter. Hey, let's run some power. Let's try to get downhill. Let's try to change the numbers on the map after the snap, not by motion and sending a wide receiver in motion, but by pulling the guard around and wrapping him to the point of attack. Like, that's where I think it has to be different. And Waller fits into that piece of the puzzle with what he is as a flex hybrid tight end weapon that, yeah, I think if you lean into that, you can get more of that action for him throughout the course of his 60 minutes.
I think you agree that going forward, though, this thing is going to start and finish with a majority of it being Waddle, Waller, and Achane. Would you agree? I mean,
yeah,
same place.
I think so.
Getting Achane out wide. He's not going away from it. He's addicted to running it out there and getting him the ball in space, and receivers sometimes pulling a lineman out there to get in the play as well and let him try to get it. And then as Waller, I guess, gets a little better football shape, more and more snaps for him. But, yeah, that was a great teaser in the first half. Hey, 4th and 17, Finns punt, 1:10 left.
Yeah.
What do you think of that decision? I kind of go back and forth. I get it. You got three timeouts. People go, you can't stop them. Why would you do that knowing you can't? And you actually stopped them the first two runs. What did you think of it?
Yeah, so I thought with the running clock mixed with, you know, the Dolphins used to be the kings of long yardage conversions offensively, and that's obviously kind of gone by the wayside since 2023. I didn't like it for the sense that with the running clock, like, you took the snap, I think it was a minute 46 seconds left when you took the third down play and you got sacked within 2 seconds because you took a bad L at left guard. And then by the time you punted the ball, it was like a minute, you lost like a third of the time that was left on the game.
You did.
By the time you switched the personnel packages out. So with three timeouts, I know you're backed up, you're on the 15 and you're down by three. The challenge of, hey, we haven't really stopped them defensively. The fourth down analytics calculator said you had a 1% better chance of win probability if you punted the ball. But that calculator doesn't take into account the fact that your corners have been grabby all game.
They were.
And that you're giving up 7.5 yards per run across the entire game and have given up to effectively 240 yards on the ground. So that, for me, was, if you go by the raw numbers, the argument is there to be made that you punt, you take the three timeouts, you potentially get the ball back, needing to get probably 50 yards in maybe 45 seconds of game clock to get a chance to kick the field goal. Or you could try to get the conversion, and then if you don't get it, use your three timeouts to force them to kick a field goal, and then you can get a kickoff. And we just watched that in the game last night where Kansas City take the lead, and then Butker kicks the ball out of bounds on the kickoff, and it comes out to the 40-yard line.
Yeah.
Like, it just made it, when you put it in the context, in my opinion, of what the defense was and was not doing for you on Sunday, I would not have made that decision. I would say, hey, if we don't get it, I'm going to live with the fact that if we get three stops and we use our three timeouts, they kick a field goal, we could still win the game with a touchdown, and we get that kickoff sequence to start things over again. And I burn probably 25 less seconds off the game clock to work with.
Are you, you're still with me. The young guys got to keep playing, right? Including if this thing doesn't get better, I want to see more Zeke Biggers. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you have to. And I think that's one of the indictments of kind of the way that the roster construction has played out the last couple of years, is, and they set it up front when they drafted these guys. Like, we drafted these guys, they need to come in and play. And a lot of organizations don't necessarily do that. I mean, shoot, look at Patrick Paul as an example internally of a guy who got a chance to come in and get some playing time, but was built up into an opportunity.
Yeah.
And how good he has been this year. I think he's been phenomenal this year. But that's not really the situation you left yourself in. And because of that, I don't think I think you got a guy who's shown a lot of potential as a run defender who can't get on the field for 30% of the snaps the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And you've given up 450 yards on the ground the last 2 weeks.
Right.
So, yeah.
Can this thing be fixed? Or, I mean, you can't flip this roster. This is what you have, man. And I try to explain, the guys on the street at this point, after everybody's injuries around the league and practice squads, guys coming up and street guys going to the practice squad, I mean, this is what you have. Can it get better by technique and all those things? Or is it just, I mean, the last 2 weeks have been really bad with the Jets and the Panthers.
Well, I think it can, because you're talking about young guys, right? And remember what the conversation was around Chop Robinson this time last year. Like, Chop Robinson really didn't have the light bulb come on until the
first
like
six games. That was bad.
Year.
You're right.
So, like, we're still in that stratosphere. Now, Do I expect you're going to see that level of a dramatic, seemingly overnight, was what it felt like it was for Chop, improvement? Like, I think it'd be reckless to project that or assume that that's going to happen. But because we're talking about so many young guys, yes, I think there is a chance that these guys do incrementally start to show improvement and get better and are more comfortable. And I think the coaching staff probably figuring out what these guys really are and how to use them and how to play guys traits together because of everything new, but things have to start changing. And I don't know whether that is from a front perspective, if you want to maybe be a little bit more aggressive and say, hey guys, if we're going to get washed out of here, we're going to give up these big lanes, at least let's try to beat the angles to the backs tracks in the backfield create some redirect or create some chaos in the backfield.
What do you think about that? And we got to go. I'm running super late. Run another defensive lineman on there until you get this thing taken care of. You think that's in consideration? I know.
So I wasn't super high on the way that they were giving up the C gaps against Carolina, and it was exposing both of the two defensive tackles that they played with to a lot of double teams. And that was creating the movement. But the challenge with that is, what do you have on the back end? Like, you're on your fifth option for a nickel corner, right? We're already complaining about they're dropping the edges too much to play in coverage.
Yeah.
So, like, you're kind of damned if you do and you're damned if you don't in that regard. But if you're not going to win on early downs and you're kind of screwed either way, then yeah, I think you probably should play a little bit more base and play some more odd fronts.
Yeah. Hey, Kyle, thank you. Really appreciate it. Hang in there, man. I hear that frustration today. Thank you.
Hey, you too, brother.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joining us to break it down a little bit. Hey, man, it is time to tell you about your South Florida Chevy dealers and those great trucks. Love talking about them. We got 14 dealerships throughout South Florida for you to have a great experience and get the truck that is absolutely perfect for your lifestyle, man. I'm telling you right now, got a great lineup, starting with that durable Colorado with a standard turbo max engine and impressive torque. Anything you need for South Florida, man, it's got you covered. How about a Silverado 1500? Always ready, steady, and strong. Again, advanced tech needed for the workday workhorse and a weekend warrior. That one's for you, man. With a Silverado HD, boy, you can feel comfortable with the legendary horsepower, one of the hardest working beds in the business. Hey, it really comes down to what kind of truck you need. You need a full-time working truck. That's how you make a living 5, 6, 7 days a week. We got a truck for you that's going to be as durable as you are, as passionate as you are every day. You know, it's almost like your South Florida Chevy dealers have a truck that's absolutely perfect for your lifestyle. Check it out, man. Check it out today for outstanding offers going on right now.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Special day, man. Special day. You're going, wait a second. What do you mean it's a special day? The NHL champion, Florida Panthers, back-to-back championships to the finals 3 years in a row. They open up tonight at Jerry's House at Amaranth Bank Arena, 5 p.m. start. Matter of fact, it's such a big night for Amaranth Bank. Man, get your CDs with Orly. That's my new one, man. They had to put billboards up. You're looking to get CDs? Amaranth Bank, man. Home of the fan with Orly. He'll take good care of you if you want to do it. Get you great rates. Really take care of you. Man, I'm telling you right now, Chicago Blackhawks tonight. No Barkov. No Tkachuk. They're around, though. Did you see those gaudy rings they got? God, I'm jealous. Honestly, I'm jealous. I got a couple loser AFC championship rings, 17 and 19. They give them to, if you win, they're smaller. They're not the big gaudy ones. But, and you can't wear them down here because the undefeated guys are still around and it's just a bad look. They wear a 17 and 0 undefeated ring and you've got a loser ring. It just doesn't look good. But, so Barkov is out for the year. You know that. But, man, I got to tell you, they still got a really good team. Tkachuk, I think, is expect. We'll talk to Steve Goldstein, Goldie at, coming up at 9 o'clock, but Tkachuk is due back in December. But hey, man, they still got a lot of the big horses. They got that core back for Hagee and Reinhardt and Bennett and Seth Jones and Forsling and Big Bob, Mershon, Ekblad. Hope Ekblad's all right after that goon, that Bozo the Ass Clown, tried to take everybody out. You see that tough guy?
Bozo the Ass Clown, really?
Did you happen to see that guy going by the bench like he wanted to fight everybody? And they're going, dude, go back down to the minors before you get cut. Like the party's over.
The rivalry, bro.
John Cooper wanted you guys to do this, so you did your little thing. I don't think Paul Maurice is real happy with John Cooper, who, by the way, between them, good God, how many championships have they won? Between Tampa Bay and then now the Panthers. One thing Tkachuk did promise us, by the way, Tkachuk does deliver, even though he's not playing. Remember what he said when he got here? One of the first things he says, we'll take care of Tampa Bay. I told these guys that Tampa Bay thing's over. And guess what? Since he's been here, it's over. Early out in the playoffs every year. They got a good team, though. And, yeah, this little thing that happened with the 322 penalty minutes and, 19 guys got kicked out of the frigging game. I did watch it last night again. I thought it was very entertaining, but my God, what was that? Getting ready to start the season, and it was just cheap shots. So hopefully Ekblad's okay. Anyway, I just wanted to get all that stuff in here. And so Steve Goldstein will join us at 9 o'clock, and we'll talk to him as this thing gets started, man. Starts up tonight, first game. You know why we're the first game, though, right? Because we're still not sexy. They couldn't put us in the other game.
I disagree. I think 5 o'clock is a great slot.
It is for us.
Yeah.
It is
a fantastic
slot.
Oh,
no. It's our.
Don't, you know, that's okay.
No. You know, it's our sweet spot. I totally
agree.
If
that's disrespect, then I'm fine with
it. No. We actually, it's like we're on the West Coast.
They can make all the games. I don't know if Goldie would be on board with that, but we can make all the games at 5.
I don't think
nice.
I don't think the fan base that has normal hours that doesn't get up super early would be really.
Why don't we have the Heat play they play weekday games at 1 o'clock and then the Panthers play at 5 and then we're in bed by 8.
There you go.
What do you think?
It'd work into my schedule, my old ass for sure.
We'd be a much more rested town.
It would work for sure. So anyway, yeah, man, and Kane's got the week off. Great shape. Number 2 team in the country. And by the way, that's not a fraudulent number 2. I think now that we've had a chance to see him, this thing it has had no letdowns so far, unless you're a little concerned about what happened in the fourth quarter, up 28-3, and they've been doing it to everybody. They have done it to everybody, and they got the week off, weekend off, little bye week, play next Friday, and I'm guessing that's going to be a good little Louisville, and they'll give them a good little test and get ready for that. But, boy, Mario will not let this team just – he's very aware of all the things that caused what happened to Penn State just now and happens to certain teams.
Yeah, he what he said yesterday is one of my favorite things that he said. What did he say? It's not just the rat poison, it's the rats.
It's the rats.
Love that was awesome. Man, I love that.
From rat poison to rats. That was
well, that was Saban invented the rat poison thing, right?
That was incredible.
Was that was a Saban thing?
Yes. Thank you.
And then Mario, I hate to give him credit. The next step.
I hate to give him credit for anything because he gets stroked enough for being such a great college football coach.
He is good.
He is good. By the way, he is great on that show. We had to just start a rumor that he's going to take a college job because I found out that really pisses him off. Hey,
by the way, do you see North Carolina finally?
Why do you do, by the way, when I get friggin' ready to go? To break?
Because this is more important. Yourself. This is more important. Belichick or North Carolina finally sent out a Drake May highlight on their Twitter account after that story broke. That they had been banned from doing it.
Somebody told him, hey, he went to school here. It's probably a good look for us to have a quarterback from North Carolina that's having success in the NFL.
Despite how petty you may be towards New England.
Maybe you and your girlfriend ought to, you know, we ought to just leave this and win. By the way, the GM, too, for that program, he looks really bad.
GM, yeah. Lombardi.
Mike does not look good.
Why? Because he picked crap players?
Well, he just doesn't.
He's their Chris Greer.
He supports whatever Belichick does. He like justifies it somehow. Like, stop it. Just get better on your team. That's a bad team. Hey, I'll tell you what. Who is a good team? I want to talk about Gary and Harvey? Joe, who's that? Harvey Cohn and Gary Judah. Yes, sir. The partners of Cohn and Judah Injury Law Firm, Personal Injury Attorneys, Implantation. The same partners who handle your case from start to finish, more than 30 years of experience each, big enough to go to trial every day of the week and get you multi-million dollar results, small enough just to call you back. We got a little communication problem going on, I'm finding out. A lot of people aren't happy with the law firms they've chosen through TV commercials and radio ads, and they see that guy and go, wow, I'd like that guy. That's impressive what that guy's done. I want that guy to represent me. Then you get there and he goes, no. I hand off to other attorneys and I give them three or four cases each. We keep them busy. We're doing fine. Then you find out the one that happens to get your case is not real good with their communication skills. You like to get an update. You're injured. You've been injured in a slip and fall or an automobile accident. Last thing you want is not somebody that can't call you back. That's a bunch of BS. You will not have that with Gary and Harvey. I promise you that. Go to ConanJudah.com. Read the reviews. It'll tell you all you need to know. 866 fair fee, covering all of South Florida, ready to represent you, shake your hand, and let's go to work. That's what they're all about. Remember this. They don't pay other lawyers to do the work. You hire them to do.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Panthers kick it off at Jerry's house at Amaranth Bank at 5 o'clock. I guess you're going to game. You probably have known that for a while. And so that's good news. Our football team, Miami Hurricanes, really good news. Hell, we were trying to figure this morning, Woody. We're all looking it up. We even got a Gator in there looking it up, going back to when the last time we had a team that looked and was well-rounded as this team. And we played five games. So it's not like it's coming out of spring football or it's what they said about us before the year started. It's the way they're playing.
Well, 2017 would be the only year that stands out outside of, like, if you go back to, like,
you got to go way back.
The Miami team.
This team.
But 2017, they had that really good year, and then they lost the games at the end.
Three.
But that team still did not have the feel of this team.
No.
This team is, I've been saying this to you for a few weeks now. I think they're the best team in college football.
I know.
And I know you don't like to look ahead. I know you're not like overreaction guy, or whatever. Except when it comes to Dolphins. But
you do. You know, you're noticed, like you say a guy looks like, and then you throw out like the best player in the NFL too. So you do that. No, that's
yeah.
That's
your no, thing. I do tend to stretch things a little bit too far sometimes.
Do you
not agree?
I think they.
And by the way, it's far enough into the season now where you can start like saying these things.
I don't know if we're as good as Ohio State, and I don't know if we're as good as Oregon, but they'd hold their own in those games.
I mean,
okay.
I just think that
why do you always have to come out and say we got seven,
it's what we do, bro.
Games left, and you're already like
crowning
got everybody. Yeah. I'm excited.
You're
made for radio.
I'm excited.
What can I
tell you?
But this is the best team he's had down here going back to right after things started to slide after, 2001, 2003 in there?
Not Rose Bowl, not Fiesta Bowl.
Those teams were by themselves great. Then they had a couple more years that were still really good in there. What, two losses maybe in there?
Yeah, but there's been a common theme to all of those seasons, and it's that you have slipped up against lesser ACC competition.
Well, that's
that is the common theme.
That's been the story for about 20 years now. Right around 20 years.
That being said, too, all of those teams you could point to had severe weaknesses. You could look at last year's team, which was the best team Miami's put on the field in a long time, and they had significant weaknesses, especially towards the end of the season on defense.
It wasn't just during it was all year. That defense, they got really bad
towards the end of the year.
They had a couple stops in the fourth quarter, a couple games that allowed you to pull away with Cam Ward scoring 90 points a game. But that thing was not.
Their secondary was just getting, they were getting carved up, but that has been fixed.
No, he's got a well-rounded football team that has a chance as long as I just can't get them all out of my head. So I got to see it to believe it. And by the way, Friday night is another really good test because Louisville has played you really tough.
They're all going to be good tests the rest of the way.
So
I don't know how many of those games are going to be blowouts.
Oh, I don't think anything's going to be. I tell you what, I don't know. I didn't look to see who they have on their schedule the rest of the way. But, there's some good teams. Georgia Tech looks good. Georgia Tech's been a feisty team.
No Georgia Tech this year, I can tell you that for sure.
What about Duke? Manny Diaz's team. How about Manny? What he's been able to do, Virginia? Got any of those teams? Duke or Virginia? Got to have some of them.
So you have, after Louisville, you have Stanford. Okay. I don't know if they're going. I'll go to you, Northern California guy. SMU on the road.
Tough. Where are SMU?
I'd say tough.
I don't think they're as good as last year, yes.
No, they're not. Syracuse at home.
Boy, Syracuse looked really good against Clemson, but they have.
North Carolina State at home.
All right.
The game that. At Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's terrible. The game that's a little bit scary is that final game of the season at Pitt.
Yeah.
Cold weather.
You know, Pitt likes to get good. They like to get physical and we'll play those warm weather kids and play them up here. Yeah.
It's like if this was the Miami teams of the past, that would be the game you would circle.
Hey, well, listen, man, one at a time. I know we look ahead, but I'm doing what Mario's doing.
You're doing the 1 week at a time thing.
Mario does not want to hear, and he doesn't want to hear about being number two. Yeah, the rats and rat poison stuff.
I love that thing, by the way.
What
a great quote.
We got Steve Goldstein going to join us coming up here. Goldie's. Got a little bit of time. I know he's got a super busy day. He's probably busy because he's got that big ring on his finger right now, and it might have sprained that finger that he put it on last night, or he couldn't sleep all night because he was showing it to everybody. God, I can't believe he's getting rings. It just doesn't seem fair. All right. Hey, listen, we got
we'll get you one at some point. You're close.
All right.
Just got to start a rebuild. We'll get you there.
I want to tell you about Atlantic Men's Clinic, ED, low T. It's nothing to mess with, nothing to mess with. And if you're going through it and you're tired all the time and your sex drive is gone, hey, both of them are tough. And, guys, it's going to happen to every guy out there. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what size you are, what color you are. Every man is going to deal with low T and ED at some point. Yep, and it sucks. When your energy level is down and now all of a sudden you're not as active, which means that's a 20-pound rule. not as active eating the same amount of food. That's 20 pounds. Well, I know, my belly, I can't believe this, and now I can't get rid of it. Well, Landing Men's Clinic is going to knock out your low T, so you're going to stay more active, get more out of life, just feel better overall. And ED is, that was the worst, man. Sexually, I had my poor wife making excuses in the bedroom for, oh, you're getting older. Oh, God, it was terrible. Really messes with you, too. Hey, I went to Atlantic Men's Clinic. I got great results. I've been sharing with everybody the T, the PSA test. Met with their professional staff, man. This is what they do, and they do it the professional, the right way. Put you on a program that's perfect for you. The Knockout ED and Low T, 7 locations in South Florida to serve you, including a brand new location in Hollywood. I had such great results. Set up that first appointment. If you're going through it, and I know you don't want to, you get that first appointment, tell them Joe Rose said to come down and find the location closest to you, 877-455-7300. And by the way, this program kicks in quickly. You notice a difference. Go to AtlanticMensClinic.com today.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.